I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Hello and welcome. I am Father Garrett Burns, and you are listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. With me today in the studio are Father Chad Arnold.
I'm here.
Father Drew Hoffman.
I am here too, if we're just naming facts.
We're out here. We're here for it.
Some Chad, days that's all you can do.
I looked in Chad's office and Chad's typing. Also, do you type like a normal person?
Yeah, yes, I type like a normal person.
It looked
person.
Like he was like a sixth grader, like boom, 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 boom. I'm doing a motion that's not helpful on an audio medium.
Bump, 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 bump.
I think you got the picture.
He's indicating that I use a single finger on each hand.
That
like
was
I'm
the
from
energy.
The 1970s.
It was the energy Chad was giving in his office just
I
now.
I was
so.
Focused.
I know you
That's
were.
What it was.
We're very excited to have with us today Sister Mary Elizabeth from the IHM Sisters.
Hello.
Sister, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
How do you type on a computer, Sister? Do you use all five
She's
fingers?
A sister. Yes. She doesn't use a computer, Chad.
I do use a computer. Okay. I don't use text to type or type to text, whatever. But no, I finally realized I've got to learn how to do the numbers.
So. Yeah, I'm with you there.
So I do, yeah.
How fast do you type? What's your WPM?
Don't say WPM like that's just a regular phrase.
Do you know yours?
Oh, we in the basement at St. Paul all the time. We'll do races.
Do you
on
really?
The computers, yeah.
It's cool. The college like, kids
it's
are
like,
all like
it's what
into
the youths
it.
Are doing.
Like and I remember so, as a yes, freshman yes. in high school yeah. doing that. I don't think I've tested my words per minute since then.
I'm like a 105. It's not a big deal. But
wow,
not bragging or anything.
It's not, oh, I wouldn't bring it. That's not why I brought it up. I didn't even think you guys would ask.
You could get a public secular job as a typist somewhere.
Father Kider, when we were at the cathedral, he would always say that's why Father Drew responds quicker to emails is because he types faster than me.
I do only use two fingers. Have we talked about this?
Yes. I mean, I know
Wait,
that
what,
about you. But
seriously?
Yeah, I'm a two-finger pecker on the keyboard.
On a computer?
Scare. Yeah.
You're being honest.
Yeah. I learned home row at some point, but got out of habit, and I'm still pretty fast. I don't know what my WPM is, but...
I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't know if I'm amazed, if disappointed, or I just feel
it's a
old.
Mix of all.
I don't know.
My typing teacher, whoever it was at Carroll, is probably...
Yeah.
Sad.
You don't know your work. You don't know your WPM, sister?
I don't.
We should do that. That'd be fun. What if all the sisters had like a contest?
We'll look into that.
And the next, the winner got to be mother for a day. Yeah.
You could rank the sisters by order of their WPM.
That would be super healthy.
Well, you know, we all have different talents and maybe this is a hidden one in one of the sisters.
Yeah,
that,
that'd be cool.
That she can shine.
Well, we do a different saint every time. So today we're in the studio of St. Edith Stein.
Oh.
St. Edith Stein grew up Jewish, a pretty secular, non-believing, encountered the teachings of St. Teresa of Avila and said this is truth and converted in a Carmelite monastery, but then was killed in Auschwitz. I thought of her because of your mom, Edith, Edie.
Oh, I was trying to think of the connection.
Yes.
You never know. There's no way to know. You could have.
I was still a little hurt because my patroness is Elizabeth of the Trinity, who's also Carmelite. But yeah. It all
I
makes
think
sense.
I think we used her, though. That's the tough part. I'm trying to use a different one every time.
You will make my mom so happy.
That's why lovely. I do most of what I do.
That's lovely.
Edie is a saint from, I knew her from my time at St. Margaret Mary.
Yeah, that's fun.
You grew up?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so what was life like at St. Margaret Mary back in the day?
Back in the day. I was reflecting upon just what a beautiful community it is and was. We would, again, go to daily mass. No. My mom would go to daily mass occasionally growing up, but we would go to Sunday mass as a family. And like some highlights from that time is we had a group called the Layman's Club, precursor in our time to the Knights of Columbus.
Okay. Mm.
But it was just kind of like an occasion for all the men to get together and have time together.
And manly things.
One of the things that they would do is a mother-daughter breakfast. And I think they had more fun like planning it than they did putting it on.
Yeah.
But they would make like the best breakfast for Mother's Day. And then they would perform skits.
Really?
Yes. And
was your dad in a skit?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes.
I would love to see that.
Yes. Some of those big names from St. Margaret Mary. Yes.
What were the themes of these skits?
They would take events from the parish life or like kind of popular little... for a while, it was like the Energizer Bunny would go through. So when that was big. So.
That's when Father Eric was there.
So that's kind of dating me. So yes, the parish life was just very good. I was there during the time of Father Ivan Eck.
Nice.
And so I was looking, thinking back, and I came across a picture of from my first Holy Communion of myself with Father Eck and my first grade teacher, Sister Felicitas, and then the Immaculate Heart of Mary statue, which has a beautiful IHM and Sacred Heart there in the parish. And I was just like, wow, that's just such a beautiful kind of prefigurement to my vocation.
And then you went to Bishop Carroll, and now you teach at Bishop Carroll, right?
Yes. I just finished 5 years. I've actually was there for 3 years from 99 to 2002, but I'm going to actually be going to Pittsburgh, St. Mary's Colgan. So yes, there's some of us who have taught at all four of the Catholic high schools.
Wow.
And so I have that honor. And
so you can tell us which one is best.
Well, yeah. I am a Bishop Carroll graduate, so I just realized, yeah, I'm in a room of Bishop Carroll
grads.
Yeah. One of Carroll, my business manager was teasing our front desk girl, Ellie. She's like, wait, are three of the four high school chaplains Carroll grads? She's like, yeah. It's like, what about the college chaplains? Yeah. What about the vocations directors? They're all Carroll people. It was awesome. So yeah, we're glad to.
Was that weird going back there? I mean, was there teachers that taught you that you're now teaching with, or?
Yes. Well, when I first went back, there were more there, and I was probably more like shy and reserved. And then going back, like Greg Davidson, he was there. Mrs. Nielsen, I never had her for typing.
Yeah.
She would have been my typing teacher if she if I had her for class. And so that was it. And it would be like, you know, people I went to school with. So like, for example, Tracy Fox, let's say her name.
Wow.
My goodness.
She went to St. Margaret Mary as well.
Yeah.
She was in my sister's class.
Talk about that as much as sister did from St.
We're
Margaret
not as proud. A blotch on the reputation.
Are you going to edit this part?
No, because she's not going to listen to it, but then she's going to get sent it by a bunch of people, and then we're going to get a vicious text message from her.
We can handle it.
Yes.
So was that fun, though? Were you glad to go back to Carroll? Or?
Yes. Whenever you get assigned to a new place, it's like the whole transition in, and you're like, okay, and getting used to the students and such. So I am very sad to leave. So I really had kind of settled in there. But again, the Lord provides. And
do you know Pittsburgh very well at all?
I actually had been there a year.
Okay.
So right after COVID, I went to Pittsburgh and just for a year. And then that's when I was assigned to Bishop Carroll. So so I left Trinity to Pittsburgh and then Carroll. And then I did do some time at KFIN. So just to put that in
time.
There.
We'll cut that out, actually. Nowhere else but Pittsburgh do you get sung to as a sister.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like football players and the whole, right?
Yes. So,
I don't know if that's good or bad, but that only happens at Pittsburgh.
Everybody, you're going to go to the window at 9:30 at night.
What's the summertime like? Because you're teaching order, that's the main apostolate for most of the sisters. And so I imagine it's a little more relaxed, but what's the summertime like for you and the sisters?
So each summer is different. So most of us, at some point, we go through going to classes to work on a master's degree. So I went to St. Charles Borromeo in Philadelphia for 6 summers. And I'm actually get to go back, kind of a little sabbatical to go with the sisters.
Oh, cool.
So I'll be leaving this Sunday. And that's, again, even though we teach all year, it's like a nice to have a time to study ourselves. And then we do a lot of outdoor gardening and working, and there's always something to do. And we plan different games and activities. Sometimes we'll take a little road trip. One year we went to like just different shrines and visited the different shrines. So, so just keep learning, but also just have that time for rest and rejuvenation.
And time together, I would imagine. Most of the time you're different schools, and so not able to have as much community time. So that's great.
Well, this spring, for the very first time, this past spring, we sent a group of seminarians to the convent to do work for me. I don't know your take on that. What I hear from the seminarians, it didn't really sound, sister, like you guys made them do that much work. Sounds like they were just getting fed and praying up and hanging out with the sisters. They loved it, but we were expecting you to drive with a whip and make them, you know, move heavy objects and things like that. But
maybe they were having so much fun they didn't even realize the work that they were doing. But it was great because we even just like carrying the salt in was we don't have to do that.
These huge, I don't know how many, 25 pound, 50 pound bags of salt. Yes. There was probably, I don't know, 100 of them. And the guys carried them from outside downstairs.
Like, you make that look so easy.
Of course, they're all trying to compete. I can carry two. I can carry three. Yeah, because back in the day, Sister Maria Jacinta would put us to work. I think we had a couple work days at the Vine Convent.
Oh, yes.
And at the new, when they got a house in Hutch for the first time, we went over there and did a lot of work over there.
Yes. Yes. Well, the Bishop Carroll Convent when we were there. So that's where I entered, was at Bishop Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway.
Yes. And you mentioned you studied at St. Charles Borromeo. So what were you studying? What degree were you getting there?
So I got a degree in systematics. Just scripture, systematics, and morality. Just very good classes. Challenging. And
did you pretty much choose that? Does mother direct you in what you should study? Or
we initially will get a degree in just theology for our master's, not so much for our teaching, but for our own enrichment and our own prayer. And then I was fortunate enough, I was really wanting to study some more after that degree. It had been about 10 years. So I approached Mother Mary Magdalene at the time, and she directed me to the Divine Mercy University. So I actually also got a master's in psychology.
Oh.
So that more, again, just to have a better understanding of the human person and education. We are, again, not so much teaching a subject. We're teaching individuals, but we're, you know, passing on the message of Christ to an individual.
Yeah. So more and more important.
What was your big takeaways from that study of psychology? What stuck with you and shaped how you teach?
So in our community, we came from California to Wichita, and the sisters, really the community there in California, had been devastated after Vatican II, but also there had been some kind of effects from psychology. And so kind of so Carl Rogers again had come in and just brought a group in and just had a huge negative impact. And so it was kind of really a healing thing for me to see, like, when we study the human person and, you know, the psyche in a positive way, not as like parts, but rather the whole person, then we come to understand like how God created us. And so it really just helped me again to understand how we can be healed, how we can again seek to then help other people, just by, again, the care for the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you been to the new St. Charles?
That's where I'll be going this year. Okay. No, I haven't been there.
I was just out there a couple weeks ago for a conference. They did a wonderful job with it.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes. So, I'm looking forward to being in Philadelphia for the 250th.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't know exactly what our plans are, but
it's a good place to be.
Yes,
very neat. Is it Catherine Drexel that's at the cathedral, I think, in Philly? Or
I don't. So when I was there the first time, her convent, her mother house was still there. And so we got to visit the mother house and St. John Newman. And I think those are the main ones. They have a lot of different shrines around there.
Yeah, they do.
So it just was such a cultural experience, Catholic culture.
I have some bad news. I think I'm going to be in Canada on our 250th birthday. Disaster.
Seems a mistake.
But you'll be there for Canada Day, isn't that?
Oh, that's that's a disaster. So please pray for us and the discernment.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. bring, I don't know. I'm worried about
it. You need to bring some America with you.
I'll probably insult everyone we encounter in Canada on that day. But Philadelphia seems like a preferred place to be on that day.
I'll be in Italy, so it doesn't make...
Jeepers, great. We're really the least patriotic people in the world. I'm gonna Chad's going to be in his romper.
I'm going to be in, in Spain.
No, is that true?
Yeah, I'm
no. A there, tough, so. A brutal scene for priestly simplicity.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard you're going to Turin.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like one of my favorite saints after Elizabeth of the Trinity, of course. Is Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati. So I'll be jealous of you get to go maybe visit his tomb.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's his feast day, it's 4th of July. So we'll be there feast day. So it'll be super Italian. We might have more fireworks there than here, though.
So, I mean, I can get behind that. Yeah. Like, you are putting your Catholic identity primary to your American idea.
Yep.
I'm putting my ministerial identity primary to my American. I don't know what Drew's doing.
I'm going to be on a glacier, probably. Like, I belong the place I belong least in the world. Hello. When can I get back on the boat?
Well, good, sister. We're glad to have you on. We'd just love to hear your vocation story and how the Lord led you to your vocation.
Okay. So I, again, grew up in just a beautiful parish, but, you know, my parents were Catholic. My dad converted to the Catholic faith. And kind of like, again, the parish life, family life, we were also very close growing up. I have an older sister and a younger sister, so that explains a lot. I'm a middle child. And
ready for the convent, right?
Yes. Very much, you know, female dominated. So we went, you know, to mass as a family, dinner together. My mom's rule was if we were in the car longer than 30 minutes, we said a rosary.
Nice.
So we didn't usually like say a family rosary, but that was kind of a big
good
thing.
Rule. I like that a lot. Yes, longer than 30 minutes. Yeah.
Yes. So I went to St. Margaret Mary grade school, had sisters there. I didn't really think about religious life as a possibility. I, you know, loved children, thought about getting married, but there was always something in my mind. My favorite book that I received growing up was the Picture Book of Saints. And I just love the saints. I love, you know, probably most of their feast days memorized and no obscure saints. So I just read that from cover to cover. Mm. And I was just drawn to the Virgin Martyrs, you know, so Saint Cecilia, Saint Lucy, Saint Agnes. And I was just like, you know, to give your life to Christ. Now, the long-term thing is like, yes, if he could just take my life, that would be great. You know, just get over with. That would be one thing.
We've all thought that, yes.
It's like the slow, like the white martyrdom that was a... You know, St. Jean Francis J. Chantal talks about, you know, is just like, oh, yes, that's the harder part. Mm-hmm. So I made it through grade school, participated in, you know, we're a small school, so we did all the sports. But I definitely wouldn't describe myself as a tomboy. I was very much, I enjoyed, you know, being a girl and dressing up and all that. So then I get to high school, and it was the IHM sisters that just kind of, you know, wow. Here they are. They're happy. At first, I had to think, are they happy because they're out of the convent? Or are they happy because you know, are they just happy genuinely? And so I had Sister Mary Magdalene for my first class.
Carol.
Yeah. So she taught me. And then I had her again for morality as a sophomore. And she just wonderful having her. And then my junior year, I had Sister Marie Bernadette, and she just like would make these comments like, you'll be happiest and holiest doing what God wants you to do. And so I was just like, I really want to be happy. That's, again, a goal in life. And so I thought, well, maybe God could make me happy as a sister. And I was very much inspired by Mother Teresa at the time. And then I had Sister Giovanni, and then Sister Mary Catherine my senior year. And Sister Catherine did something very wise. She kept in contact with me after graduation, and she invited me to help her like with this group called the Junior Handmaids, where they would meet once a month. Families that we knew, their children would come. I'll kind of backtrack a little bit. So when I was a freshman in high school, I just became very like committed to the pro-life movement, and just that was just something so important to me. And so, you know, kind of worked starting the club there at Bishop Carroll, and then after high school, in college, continuing that as well. So I started college and just kind of got distracted, you know, with things. But one thing I did is like, what is my vocation? And so I kind of would kind of play with that, but it's like, oh, I want to have fun. And so I started in elementary education and then kind of got tired of that. And so I ended up transferring to WSU, and Father Conley was there at the Newman Center. And so he was very inspiring to me. But I just went, basically when I looked at the college courses, I was like, okay, what do I want to take? Oh, I'll just take Latin. That was something, a class I wanted to take.
That's not normal, sister.
No, no, no. So it's like, okay, I'll just take Latin and whatever fits around that. And so then I kind of had to like come to the resolution, like, what am I going to do with this? I'll have to teach. So I kind of was like more open to teaching, but kind of, again, a lot was going on in my life with still very, very committed to the pro-life movement, but also again, just wanting to have fun. But I ended up going on this pro-life spring break trip that Father Conley, now Bishop Conley, had organized. And it was that week, like the talks just really struck me. And one talk in particular, if you're not living for the faith, then you're not helping the pro-life. You're not helping to end abortion. And so I had to really kind of take stock. And it came back, started going to Holy Hour more frequently, going to daily mass, just like going back to confession. And so like things started to change. And I was like, I'm not ready to discern religious life. And so I kind of looked at other things. I was like, well, maybe I could, you know, still find a good group of people to help me and still get married and have a big family.
The bargaining phase. We've all been there.
Yes, yes. And so I just remember thinking, okay, Lord, I'll surrender, you know. So it was kind of neat. I end up calling Sister Mary Catherine, and we set up a date like on April 28th, the day before the Feast of St. Catherine of Siena. I said, can I come talk to you about religious life? And so it was just like, she's like, that was such a beautiful feast day gift. And so then I started discerning, okay, which community? And I thought, not here. Not here. I'm going somewhere else. So I wrote to all these communities outside. And I thought, well, I'll still visit the IHMs because I know them. And I can like have this experience of religious life with them. But I'll go somewhere else. So I wrote to the communities. I'm getting responses back. So one of them is from the Nashville Dominicans. And we're like, oh, yes, we go to summer school with some of the sisters from Wichita. Do you know them? Yeah. So then I make a trip up to Nebraska to visit the School Sisters of Christ the King. And they're in like their initial like setting up their community. And they're being formed by IHMs from Philadelphia. And so I meet with the novice mistress, and she's like, oh yeah, you have IHMs in Wichita. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, thanks. And it was, that was like the weekend of, there was a lot of rain and so flooding. And so we really couldn't stay there. And so I ended up going back with a friend to where she lived in Kansas City. And I didn't stay through that weekend with the sisters. And so it just was like, okay, Lord, you want me to stay at home. And it's just been kind of like reflecting upon that, the all of the gifts that the Lord has given to me in this diocese go even back further than my own life. So my mom is from a family of eight, and, you know, going to St. Margaret Mary, they probably wouldn't have had access to Catholic education in high school, but the priest that was there at the time made sure the six boys got to go to Capon Memorial High School, and then my mom and her sister went to Sacred Heart Academy. And so Catholic education has always been so dominant in our family. You know, at one point my dad, he worked for Boeing, and they talked about relocating him to Huntsville, Alabama. And my family was like, no, there's no Catholic school that we can send you to. So that's always been very important to my family. And then just seeing like the great graces that have happened because I've been through Catholic education and our diocese and such. And so kind of my discernment then came, okay, if I enter, this is where God is calling me to the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And it's just been such a blessing because I don't really think I would have like looked at the charism other than I love teaching and I love community life. I love our habit, but to really ponder Mary's Immaculate Heart and what it does what it teaches us about who we are, who she is in relationship to Jesus, and what we're called to be as sisters, like interceding for poor sinners. And like, that's just something that has grown in me throughout my discernment in my religious life. So, but I had to kind of then talk to my family, my parents, about entering the convent. And so I talked to my mom and dad, and you know, my mom, it was a little hesitant at first. My dad was like, well, why don't you just finish college? So I had a good job. I was working at, which again is so funny because I'm like not medically inclined, but I was working at the pharmacy at St. Joseph Hospital because it just was an opening I had gotten. And I thought, okay, yeah, I'll just work really hard and finish school, and then I can enter after college. And so by the end of the summer, I was burnt out. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, I had already made a down payment for, or the deposit for the trip to World Youth Day in Denver. Oh, well. And so I tried to back out, but my mom said, no, you made the deposit, you're going. And I was like, yeah, I don't really care anymore. And so I end up going, and that was like the best thing for me, just to like be around so many people on fire for their faith, to see Pope John Paul II, and just to have that great witness. And then I was like, so we had the mass, we walked out there and had the mass. So it was kind of like the Feast of St. Magdalene Kolbe and the Assumption, which again, the Assumption is my anniversary of vows that I, cool. I made my first vows and final vows on August 15th. And so then I came back and said, I'm going to enter. And so it, you know, I gave my family, you know, that semester, you know, just to kind of accept it. And then I entered December 31st, 1993. My mom and dad dropped me off, and I feel so badly for them, you know, doing that on New Year's Eve. but it's, you know, they saw it as such a blessing, and it's just like, for them, they've seen me very happy. And I think they're always proud. Like, yes, my daughter's an IHM. Uh-huh. My sister's an IHM.
Oh, they are. Yeah. They were with me. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So yes, God is good.
Amen. Sister, I have some really exciting news for you. You're going to have your picture up in the gathering space at St. Paul. I didn't know you were at Wichita State. Well, we'd love to. We're going to put your picture up.
Thank you.
I know that's pretty exciting for you, I'm sure. I didn't know that. What was St. Paul like in the 90s?
Oh, well, it's been remodeled, so it's a lot nicer. No, it was like amazing. Some of the things that we did were kind of, we had foreign film festival nights, so we watched.
I hear a lot about the movie nights that we'd watch Bishop Conley used to have.
French movies. Yes.
It's not something that has during my time.
I come over for that.
That's not something we've done during my time.
Well, and of course the dollar lunches, but dollar lunch still, is still a yes, huge thing. Yeah, the adoration and mass.
Still do that.
Yeah,
that's good.
Still do that.
That's a good idea. I didn't know that.
You still do mass every day.
The masses, shoot, that is a good idea too.
just going in and knowing, okay. Father needs his coffee, so make sure the coffee's there.
That part hasn't changed.
Well, that's great. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, sister. It's beautiful to see. Yeah, Wichita State, I mean, everything in Wichita, the Catholic schools, and just a good family, and that's where vocations come from, so we're grateful for that. Thank you all for listening to About 4 O'Clock. If you have questions you'd like us to address, you can email us at wichitavocations@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website at about4.org. And today, the final word goes to Sister Mary Elizabeth.
One of the striking comments Jesus made to Angela Foligno, he said, make yourself a capacity and I will make myself a torrent.
Until next time, be not afraid.